Hey everybody, so good to see you today. So excited to continue in our series here on how to find freedom in conflict. I know it sounds like an oxymoron, but it really is true. Like even in the midst of our conflict, God can provide freedom in that. In fact, we're gonna continue on in Matthew chapter 18 today, and we're gonna see how it is that God brings freedom to us even in the midst of the conflict in which we find ourselves. You know, last week we talked about how is it that we are supposed to handle conflict when it comes to people who aren't followers of Jesus. And that 2 weeks before that, we were really kind of looking at how is it that we're supposed to handle conflict with those who are following Jesus. Today, what we're going to do is we're going to really explore what do you do with somebody who continues to have conflict with you, right? So maybe there was an issue, somebody said they were sorry, you guys made it right, but then it happened again, and you kind of moved on from that, and it happened again, and it happened again, and happened again. Like how, what are we as believers in Jesus Christ supposed to do, not just in one moment of conflict, but in this series of conflict that is happening? How are we supposed to respond? How are we supposed to act? What are we supposed to do? And all of this. So again, we're going to be in Matthew chapter 18. We're going to be starting in verse 21. And but before I read that, I want to pray for you. So if you would pray with me. Lord God, thank you so much for the opportunity to sit under your word right now. God, we ask in the name of Jesus that you would speak in a mighty and powerful way. God, we ask that you'd bring revelation to our hearts. God, I ask that you would speak through me. God, let my words be your words. Let your message alone be proclaimed in this place, God. May you be glorified, not only in what is said and heard, but is in what is received and what is done in the obedience of our faith and the faith that we live out in you, God. May we glorify you even now. For it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Again, we are in Matthew chapter 18. I want to read for you, first of all, just in verse 21. So if you remember from verses 15 through, I think it was 15 through 17, you know, that's where we're really talking about like how are believers supposed to handle conflict with each other. And Jesus goes through and he says, okay, step one, you're gonna talk about it one-on-one with a compassionate heart, all those kinds of things, right? You can go back to week one of Freedom and Conflict to be able to see some of those things. But then he said, okay, bring somebody else in. Okay, then take it before the church. All right, and then treat him like a pagan or a tax collector. And, you know, again, we handle all those things back there. But then after he explains all of this, after Jesus explains all of this to the disciples, Peter kind of pulls him aside. In fact, in verse 21 there, it says, then Peter came to Jesus. In other words, he's kind of like, hey, yo, Jesus, come here. And then he has this little conversation, this little side question. He says, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? And then to make himself feel real good, he says, should I forgive them seven times? Right? So it's really interesting, first of all, Jesus goes into this whole thing about, okay, here's how you address conflict. Here's how you have conversations of confrontation, particularly with brothers and sisters in Christ, right? And then Peter's first thought is like, well, how many times am I have to do that? Right? Like, that seems like a whole process and everything. Like, how many times I got to do that? Like, if I got to do that seven times, phew, you best believe I'm getting to heaven. Like, oh my goodness. But he's like, okay, Jesus, thank you so much and everything. But how many times I got to do that? And in response to that, Jesus tells a story that goes a little bit like this.
Hey, everybody, I'm a king, and it's time to settle accounts.
Oh, man, the king just said he wanted to settle accounts. I owe him a ton of money.
You owe me $1 million.
Hey, king, I think he owes more than that.
You owe me $10 million.
No, king, no, I don't have the money. I can't pay it. What am I gonna do?
Well, let me see. What do we do with people who can't pay their bill?
Hey, king, I think you're supposed to sell him and all his family. That's what we do to everybody else.
Sell him and all his family to pay the debt.
No, King, no, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to do it. I promise, just give me some time. I'll pay you back whatever I gotta do. Please, just please, just please.
I am sorry for the anguish this has caused you. Forget the debt. It is canceled. It's paid for. You are free. You may go. Hey, I'm just a servant walking around doing my thing.
Hey, bro, don't you owe me $5?
Oh, yeah, I do owe you $5, but I'm a servant, and so I don't make a whole lot of money, so I ain't got your money right now. But hey, I'm on my way to a job. Let me go do that job. I'll get you $5. I'll be right back.
No, I said I want my money!
Hey, dude, come on. Take it easy. I'll get you $5. Take it easy!
Throw him in jail.
Hey, I'm another servant who just happens to be standing around watching all this stuff happen.
I'm outraged! I'm gonna go tell the king about this!
You mean he did what?
See, King, what happened was, see, he owed me $5, and things got out of control. I'm sorry, King, it won't ever happen again.
You wicked servant. I canceled $10 million! You couldn't spot this guy at $5? For real? Get rid of this guy. This joker out of my face. You gotta be kidding me. For real?
Alright, now, it may or may not have happened quite like that, but it was pretty close. And so what I want to do is I'm going to go back through some of those verses there, and I just want to pull out for you some of the really significant things there that are important for us to recognize. Like, for example, Peter's question was about how many times should I forgive? Yet it seems like the answer that Jesus gave him was, like, whose sin is bigger? Not necessarily how many times. And so, like, one of my questions would be, like, does this story really answer the question that was posed to him? And I guess maybe in all of this, maybe the better question that we should be asking is, like, if we are people who've been forgiven by the king, praise God, how many times have we had to ask forgiveness, right? How many times have we gone back to God like, oh, I did it again. Lord, I repent. I turn from my wicked ways. I want to walk with you. I want to live holy for you. I want to be yours. I'm like you and me, ride or die. This is us, right? And then it happens again. Oh, Lord, I'm sorry. I want to do right. I want to live by you, right? Like, how many times have you had to go to God and ask for forgiveness? And has there ever been a time where you went before God and you thought to yourself, oh man, he's probably not going to forgive me this time? Let me say two things about that. First of all, there is never a time when you come to God with a heart of repentance that he will say, nah, I'm good. It's never gonna happen. No matter how many times you turn from him, as long as you keep turning back to him, as long as you keep going back, I want you to know the blood of Jesus Christ is enough to overcome every sin you've committed. The blood of Jesus Christ is enough to set you free from the conflict that you have with your Heavenly Father. Like, the blood of Jesus is enough. Right? And so no matter how many times you're going back and forth, as long as you continue to repent, as long as your heart continues to cry out after God, I want you to know he will hear that prayer, he will respond to you, he will forgive you of your sins, and he will give you new life. Like, just let's just get that down right now, right? But if people are coming to us to ask for forgiveness, do they have the same assumption about us that no matter how many times they have to come, like, we're going to be ready to forgive them, right? See, I think the story does actually answer the question. Like the number of times that we've had to go before God to ask forgiveness, the number of times that we've had to go before him with this huge debt of these 10 bags of gold or however much, you know, the 100 talents, all this kind of stuff. If we actually numbered out how many times we had to go before God and ask forgiveness, It would be nothing compared to what other people have had to come to us for. So the story actually does answer the question. It's not really a matter of size, it's a matter of how many times. Another question that we can be asking in all of this as well is it okay to separate yourself from unrepentant sin? Like, what do you do for people who don't repent? Like, what do you do for people who aren't really sorry for what they've done, right? We see back in Matthew chapter 18, verse 17, right, where Jesus tells his disciples, like, after you bring it to the church, like, if they're still not ready to turn and to repent, then treat them like a pagan or a tax collector, right? And again, if we remember back to our previous sermon there, what we're seeing there is that even we have to compassionately let people choose sin if that's what they want, right? We can't make people seek forgiveness. However, we can still give forgiveness even if they aren't repenting. See, forgiveness is about us being set free. But it's not until they seek that repentance that they can be set free as well. See, this freedom in conflict is a two-way street here. And on one side, we have the opportunity to be set free in the forgiveness that we give. The other party has an opportunity to be set free in the repentance that they seek, right? And as we are doing that together, we are able to live in the freedom from the conflict that is weighing us down. Now, let me say as well, it's really important for us to recognize that just because you forgive somebody also doesn't mean that you keep loaning them money, right? Like, I mean, if you keep giving somebody that $5 and they keep coming back with their pockets out like, man, bro, I ain't got nothing for you today, then maybe you should just stop loaning them money, right? Maybe you should just recognize you ain't loaning them money, you're just giving them money, right? Make it a gift, don't make it a loan. So forgiveness doesn't mean that you keep putting yourself in the same position again, but forgiveness does mean that you no longer hold that against them, right? If we're gonna find freedom in conflict, then we can't hold them back to that point in time, because really what we're doing is we're holding ourselves back there as well. Now, if we really wanna find freedom in our conflict, even when these things are happening over and over and over again, we gotta make sure that we're not staying back there, but we're also, again, we don't have to put ourselves in positions where we know the person's gonna take advantage of us again. There may be some people who just aren't ready for that kind of responsibility, and that's okay. You don't have to put yourself in that position. You can forgive somebody and still not loan them money again, right? You know what I'm saying there? So really, I guess the big question in all this is, you know, not just how many times do we forgive, or, you know, is our sin greater than the sin that other people have committed against us? I mean, I think we got all those kinds of things, you know, lined out there. But really, I guess the question is, like, how do we actually forgive? Right, because that seems to be the rub, right? Like, I know that my sin against God is so much greater than anyone else's sin against me. Like, I know that for a fact. I know that no matter how many times I go to God, I know that He's gonna forgive me each and every time. And I know that according to what Jesus told Peter there in verse 22, He said, "I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times." So I know that what Jesus is saying is that no matter how many times people come to you, like, you keep on forgiving. In fact, if you go down to verse 35, it says, "This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother or sister from your heart." And so what He's saying is every time they come, you forgive. So I know my sin is greater than any sin that will ever be committed against me. And I know that God will forgive me every single time. And so I need to be ready to forgive like God does as well. So the question is then, how do I forgive? How do I help my mind and my heart get to where God's word is? How do I get all of that behind where I know I need to be? So there's two things that I want us to kind of focus on here. Number one is that we have to have a genuine experience of repentance, right? If you don't know what it feels like to be on your face pleading before God for your life, you are not going to understand this story. You are not going to understand what it is to be set free. If you don't know what it is to recognize that your sin had cast you, had earned you the right to go to hell, if you've not experienced what it is to be on your face before God, pleading with Him for your life, for the forgiveness of your sins, in order that you might be set free, like, if you don't know that feeling, then I can't make you feel that. But you're not going to get this story. You're not going to understand forgiveness until you felt like your life was taken away from you by sin. You're not gonna understand the power of forgiveness until you have truly grabbed a hold of that for yourself, until you've been pardoned of a debt that you could never pay with your whole life, right? See, the servant in this story, when he came before the king the first time, He knew it was beyond him. Like, the debt that he owed was so far beyond him. Yet he said, I plead with you, I'll do anything. I'll get it back to you. I'll give everything. That was the word they used. I'll give everything. If you never had that moment with Jesus, if you've never had that moment with God where you've said to him, Lord, my sin is killing me, and I will give you everything to try to just Lord, just don't send me away. Forgive me. Help me. Lead me. If you've never pleaded, if that moment's never happened in your life, then you're not going to know what it is to need that forgiveness. And so you're not going to know how to give that forgiveness either. See, in order to forgive others, you have to know what it is to be forgiven. You have to know what it is to be an enemy of God. You have to know what it is. You know, the verse that says that even while I was still a sinner, Christ died for me. You have to know what it is to recognize that you are not good. That might even be kind of hard to hear right now. But the truth of the matter is, none of us are good. The only way that we can be saved from this immense sin debt that we have is through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That is the only way. And so if you've never actually pleaded with God and said, Lord, I recognize that I'm a sinner, and I know that if I stay in my sins, I'm going to die and go to hell. And Lord, I want you to save me. I want you to redeem me. I want you to give me real life. Lord, I want you to set me free. If you've never experienced that before, I want you to experience that today, right now. In fact, one of the things that I would encourage you to do even right now before you go on with the rest of the sermon is, if that's you, if you've never experienced that and you realize, you know what, I need to plead before my Savior, I would love to talk with you about that. I would love to pray with you. I would love to just help you process that together. Matter of fact, email me right now, PastorTim@HFCOG.org. PastorTim@HFCOG.org. Email me right now. I want to talk to you. I want to plead with you. I want to cry out to God with you, because today can be the day of salvation for you. Today can be the day where you truly receive forgiveness in your life. But it comes by first recognizing and acknowledging that my sin is costing me my life. Now, here's why that's so important. Because if you don't realize how massive the cost of your sin is, then you'll never realize how insignificant the cost of other people's sins against you really is. You'll never see that one is just enormous and the other is hardly anything. If you've never experienced the one, you'll never understand how small the other truly is. So we've got to have that genuine experience of repentance for ourselves. And then we've got to live the new life while remembering the old one, right? So once we have received the new life, so once we have submitted ourselves to a life with Jesus Christ, once we've pled for our lives and, Lord, please forgive us, He is faithful and just to forgive us of all of our sins, right? And in fact, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone and the new is come. And so what that means is, we are not just a better version of ourselves. We're not just an improved version of ourselves. No, we are brand new creatures. We are whole. Like, like completely new. So like last week when we baptized Brian and everything, what we were doing was we were celebrating the fact that old Brian is gone. Old Brian is dead. Old Brian is put away. There is a brand new Brian Sorey that got to testify to all of you that he's been made new by the blood of Jesus Christ, that he's now empowered to live a life with Jesus through his resurrection. That is what this new life is all about. However, in this new life, we cannot forget where we came from. We can never forget that we have been redeemed. We not always live like this, right? You look at me right now and you see a pastor and everything, but you don't see me like when I was in high school. You don't see me in my before Jesus days. You don't see me in some of those decisions that I was making back then. You don't see all of that. See, the truth of the matter is, we all have a before Christ, right? And we have to make sure that we remember that we haven't always been in Jesus. We've needed forgiven too. We've needed to be set free too. We've needed Jesus to resolve our conflict, which is so much greater than what anybody else would have with us. See, the way we forgive others is we have a genuine experience of repentance, and then we remember what it is that we repented from. We remember that we haven't always been right here. We remember that as good as God has been to us, and as much as he has poured out his grace into our lives, we can pour that grace into others as well. I hope that today you experience that genuine experience of repentance in your life, that you turn from your sins, right? That you acknowledge the fact that you're a sinner, that you believe and put your faith in Jesus Christ as the only Savior who can redeem you from that sin, that you would actually confess to those around you and to God himself that he is your Lord. And when you do, the Bible tells us that you will be saved. And then when you are, don't talk to other people. Don't interact with other people like you've always been saved. Don't interact with other people like you've always been righteous. No. You've been made righteous through Jesus Christ. You've been made new. You've been made new through the blood of Jesus. So let's have the compassion on others that Jesus had for us. Let's never forget that any sacrifice we would make in forgiving others is nothing compared to the sacrifice that God made to be reconciled with us, to overcome our conflict, to give us freedom. Church, let's be a part of giving freedom to others as well. Let's pray. Lord God, I thank you so much for the freedom you have given us through Jesus Christ. And I ask, Father, in the name of Jesus, that you would help us all to be quick to give freedom to others in the conflicts in which we find ourselves as well. No matter how many times people come to us, God, help us to be ready to forgive. Help us to forgive like you forgave us, to forgive quickly, to forgive fully, to forgive out of a heart of love. Lord, we thank you for loving us. And we ask, God, that you would give us the grace to share that with others. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.